This is the Old Mole Variety Hour, and I'm Denise Morris, your host this morning. Next up, we have Bill Resnick talking with Jody Weiser from Tax Fairness Oregon. They'll be talking about progressive tax policies in Oregon. It's tax day.
Hi, Jody Weiser. Welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill. It's nice to be here.
Jody Weiser is the founder of Tax Fairness Oregon. Its mission is to, quote, reform our tax code so that it serves the common good, not special interests. Jody, it's now another legislative session, you may have noticed. This year, as for the last 14 years, you've been at it in Tax Fairness Oregon, shaping tax policy, promoting good ideas, analyzing bills, testifying, meeting with legislators, trying to get on media, building coalitions. This year, it's especially crucial because the state has a big budget shortfall. So, Jody, before we get into tax policy for the state and what should be done, tell us, how did you become a lonely progressive lobbyist? I know you don't think of yourself as lonely. Talk about that, too.
I don't think of myself as lonely. There's a group of us that meets every Friday during the session to talk about what's coming up the next week and what's our position on bills and what should we be doing? What do we need to be working on? I'm the person that's in Salem the most, but most days there's one or two other people. And why did I start doing this? I started doing this because I was driving to school one day. I was teaching and I realized, oh, it's spring and the principal's probably going to tell us at staff meeting today that we have to cut another $80,000 out of our budget. And that meant we were going to have to give up PE or music or something. And I just couldn't stand the idea that we were ruining education. And I decided to go work on revenue. Really, that's how it happened.
And you resigned your job and you became a progressive lobbyist. Now, you do have a group that meets frequently during the legislative session. Now, you told me earlier there are 870 registered lobbyists in Salem, and that's only people who go all the time. Lots of people lobby, but don't go enough to become required to register. Your team is quite small, even though there is a team and you get together. It's quite small in comparison to the number of corporate and business lobbyists that are there.
Right.
Do you, in fact, know all of them? Many of them, I suppose.
Well, we have a room so that we have our kind of office space, and so I'm around them all the time.
Oh, yes.
And there are some that I feel like, you know, we're colleagues, we're working together, we're on the same side on most every issue. But really, the League of Women Voters is probably the other group that is most similar to our. We are less broad in the kind of issues we work on, because we really work primarily on tax and spending issues.
You mean tax fairness or
yes,
your group. Right.
So we don't really work on climate change or natural resources issues unless they're talking about costing a lot of money.
Yeah, well, of course, but all of those issues are impacted by the amount of resources that can be devoted to them. They're midway in the session now. A lot, in fact, is on tax policy because there is this shortfall. The big question is, are we going to cut services? Are we going to cut the state budget down even less? Or do we raise the money? Why don't you discuss that?
Well, so I can't bear the idea of laying off teachers. We just hired some back, and now we may be laying them off, and social workers. I mean, we all know we don't have adequate facilities for foster care kids. We don't have enough social workers. We don't have enough homes willing to serve them. And we'll be cutting the number of foster care workers we have, as well as teachers. It's a horrible idea to me that that's where the state is going when we're actually thriving in many ways as a state. So right now, there's a lot of bills being heard that will probably not move at all. They're being heard because who knows whether we're going to end up with money or not. In meetings that the public isn't invited to, they're working on trying to come up with a way to get more revenue from businesses. If that succeeds, then we'll be able to move forward without a lot of layoffs. And if they can't get consensus around some changes, it's going to be pretty dire.
Let's stay on the issue of what would be cut. Teachers and social workers, people who investigate child abuse cases, people who work with families where the kids need a lot of help from their parents, and all of those services will be cut. But it's not only that. There's no money for homelessness, and that it keeps growing and growing.
So there was a bill that we worked hard on. We've been meeting with a group of people since last, I think, probably June or July, to try to change the mortgage interest deduction. It costs $1.9 billion, not it alone, but the various subsidies that we have for people who actually have homes, because they itemize their mortgage interest, they itemize the property taxes they pay, and when they sell a house, they don't pay capital gains tax on most of the money from it. And so we just wanted to take a sliver off the top of the wealthiest homeowners.
Like for third homes. You get a mortgage interest deduction for your third home, your tenth home.
For up to an interest on $1 million worth of mortgage. And yet we have people that we can't help with their first time down payment or keeping them in the apartment they're in because they lost their job and now they're going to be sleeping in their car.
Or building affordable housing.
And so we were actually looking at a bill that would take about $293 million, they think, from the people who can afford to stay in their homes, whether they have this full deduction or not, and use that money for homelessness and first-time home buyers and services for homes. The word is that bill is not going to come out of its committee. It doesn't have enough votes to get out of the committee. And so we probably won't do that. Or if they don't come up with a way to get more money from business owners, they might decide to take that action, and then that money would go to teaching kids and all the other services that would fill the hole rather than actually do something about homelessness.
Also, it seems to me there's going to be health cuts. Right now, we really don't have much of a dental program for children. I mean, that's one of the great holes, and it's just impossible to get it. You're really sentencing people to an early death if, for poor people, they can't afford it. There's no way of doing it. We sell them a lot of sugary sodas, to be sure. But in fact, there's no dental care for kids. I think there's something horrible about that, actually, and the consequences of it. But it doesn't seem to register around.
We've increased dramatically the number of people who have health care, and dental care is absolutely a part of health care. We all know that. That's why you and I go to the dentist once a year.
Well, dental care, though, hasn't been subsidized to the extent that the physician health care has.
Right. And health care is part of the reason that we're facing a shortfall, because we have added a lot of people to publicly subsidized health care, and now the federal government's support for that is diminishing, as we knew it would. But actually, it looks like the provider groups are going to pick up most of the cost of that. It works for their bottom line to have people insured. And so they're the willing business community. It's the healthcare community. I don't think there's going to be huge problems getting an increase in the provider tax to cover what we currently do for health care.
So that part of the shortfall might well disappear.
Right. It's the other part of the shortfall that is the bigger problem.
This is KBOO Radio. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Jody Weiser today, who's the founder of Tax Fairness Oregon. They mostly help develop tax policy and struggle in the legislature during the legislative sessions. Jody, let's talk about what should be done. Tell us about the Oregon tax code. It's in many ways relatively progressive, as I learned today in talking to you. There are some progressive features about it. There are some features, though, that in one way or another give the richest and the biggest corporations huge breaks. Tell us, though, about generally the tax code.
The personal tax code, there's a publication that comes out each year called Who Pays? And it looks up each of the states in the U.S. and what's the distribution in terms of what people pay in taxes. And Oregon is now the third fairest state for people. If you look at all of the taxes and fees, from property taxes to income taxes and fishing fees and everything else, the wealthier people pay more in Oregon than in most states.
Although not very much.
And the poorest people pay less. And Washington State is absolutely the worst. The poorest people pay about 17% of their income in taxes in Washington State. And the richest pay about 3%. And in Oregon, we're all in the 7 to 8, 9% range. So it's not progressive. The richest still do pay less than the poorest.
Yes.
But it's close to flat. And so...
You mean compared to other states?
Yes, compared to other states.
The whole thing is an enormous scandal, this tax codes. And the federal tax code is also sort of progressive, but moving rapidly towards... Not being regressive, I don't think, yet, but it's moving in that direction.
Oh, it is definitely. It is a regressive tax.
Is the federal tax code is also regressive?
Right, because there's all sorts of things in the tax code that benefit wealthy people. And certainly the ideas that have been put forward for the changes that our current administration would like to see would make our tax code far more regressive.
You know, that's a question that I wanted to ask you. What if Oregon said... Trump is going to give them another gift, like the Medicare. They're probably going to pass that thing. There was this Medicare tax that Obamacare actually raised taxes on the rich as one of the major things to pay for more health care for the poor. It's a substantial amount of money, $250 billion a year or something like that on the federal level. What if Oregon said, we're going to look at that, see how much our richest citizens are making in these various brackets, $200,000 earners, $300,000, $800,000, you know, in the various stages, how much are they going to get? And we're going to increase taxes on their incomes that will gain the money that they have just gotten from Trump's...
I've heard that idea suggested by a couple of other people.
Oh, yes? And, is it a possibility?
It would be a possibility on a one-year, two-year thing, but then there would be all of that noise about how people are going to move, and that would change it. All of the states will be in trouble. There was a presentation 2 weeks ago in the Capitol by Paul Warner of the Legislative Revenue Office about what happens with the various proposals, Republican proposals and Trump proposals, and most of them would actually bring more money to Oregon, because if you're paying less in federal taxes, then you actually end up paying more in Oregon taxes. And the really awful part of it was it would probably kick the kicker and we would have no control over it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. So really, if we pass that law that I just suggested to recoup all that money from the rich, it wouldn't make that much difference, is that right?
Or it
would increase it, or it would increase it even greater, the gain.
Right. The thing is, you're going to have to pull the legislature into session, pass a law, which is probably going to go to the voters for a vote. And by that time, the extra revenue might have been here and kicked the kicker, and it's over with. Trying to figure out how we respond to federal policy right now is kind of beyond me. It's like our focus is on what's happening in Salem right now, because we can't guess, really, what's going to happen with federal tax policy.
This is KBOO Radio. Bill Resnick here talking to Jody Weiser, who's the founder of Tax Fairness Oregon. The legislature is now in session. We have a part-time legislature, but full-time lobbyists. For every Jody Weiser, there has to be about 30 to 40 corporate lobbyists in Salem. You're going to have to be very strong, you know, in this fight.
It always feels that way, and we lose some and we win some every year.
You do win some with public support, I gather.
Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's just pointing out that what this bill does is doesn't make sense, and you point that out, and the legislators go, "Oh, you're right," and it, you know, and that legislation doesn't happen. And other times things have legs and you wonder, why is this happening? There's a bill this session to give more subsidy to farmers who have farm worker housing, but also all the nonprofits that have farm worker housing. And so the public would start paying. We already pay for 50% of the cost of building farm worker housing. And now we would pay for the 50% of the cost of the insurance, the trash collection, the utilities, the management, any services they offer. And it's like, you know, we have families sleeping in their cars. Why would we be paying for the utilities for one group of people who have a place to live when we have other people whose kids are trying to go to school from a car, or trying to go to work from a car, and it just seems like a wrong-headed idea, and it's one of the ones we hope to kill this session.
And the subsidies, in fact, don't really go to the people in those homes, it seems to me. It goes to the farmers.
Or to the organization.
Or to some decent organizations.
Right.
Jody, tell us about your ideas for how do we close the shortfall and, in fact, get sufficient monies to not only close the shortfall, but to begin, in fact, doing something about homelessness, about children's dental care, those are, and about global warming and beginning to create a very different energy system, as they're trying to do in California and Washington. So what are your ideas for, in fact, raising the revenue that's really necessary?
So I think that the idea with the most legs right now is to have a gross receipts tax, and it'll probably get called a privilege tax, but it basically is a tax that businesses pay based on the sales that they have in the state of Oregon. Any business doing business here, whether they're selling services of some kind, like telephone service, or they're selling clothing or food, would end up needing to pay the tax. It's worrisome to me that that might not pass, or it might get a huge pushback from out of state, mostly probably money that would push against it, although it's hard to say. There's a new set of ads already on TV from a group called Priorities Oregon. It's kind of a shadow organization. We don't know a lot about who it is, where the money's coming from. And they're already saying that a gross receipts is just that tax is just a sales tax and it's a bad idea and it shouldn't happen. And so if that doesn't happen, I have a couple of other ideas that are kind of like, well, what would we do without that tax? And one would be to just raise the corporate minimum. We voted an increase in 2010. The public understands that most of the businesses don't show any income to be taxed on their income tax, so they pay the corporate minimum instead. But the way it is now, the corporate minimum is a very small amount. It's between like 1 and 7 cents out of every $100, and it plateaus, it's capped. So if you're a business that has 10 stores in Oregon that sells $100 million worth of product, you pay $100,000 in tax. But if you are a business that is 10 times that big, you still pay $100,000 in tax, which doesn't make sense. Because obviously, we're providing way more services for a company with 100 stores than we are for a company with 10 stores. And so we would take that cap off, and we would also increase the amount that they pay. So that changing the corporate minimum would be one way we could get more money from businesses. The other backup idea is to change the amount of property tax that businesses pay, change the way we figure it. They used to pay about 10 to 20% more in property taxes as a percentage of all the money coming in from property taxes than they do now. So Measures 5 and 50 really benefited business properties more than residential properties. And there's huge, huge inequities between properties. Like the U.S. Bank Tower downtown, the big pink building, it sold in 2015 for $372 million. You know what value they pay taxes on? $60 million.
That's a good deal.
That's a very good deal for the owners of that building, isn't it?
Do you know the name of their lawyer, an accountant who managed
to get this? It isn't that somebody managed to get it. It's the way our tax code is about property taxes. And other business properties downtown are paying on 50% of their value, not 15% of their value. So it's really unfair between different buildings what they're paying. And the same inequities exist in business properties all over the state. Actually, they exist in homes as well. But we could change the way we tax business properties and bring in some significant revenue that way. And that money would go to schools and to fire departments and libraries and cities and counties where we're short of money. So it would be good.
Yeah, well, they're closing libraries now, apparently, all over eastern Oregon. Rich people don't want to pay taxes, so... Jody, there's a lot to talk about. Your group struggles against what they call tax expenditures, which are really just subsidies for businesses that they write into the tax code. All kinds of subsidies, huge subsidies. Some of them, in fact, are useful. Almost most of them are not, and they're just giveaways. I know you're fighting on those issues as well for a long time. There really is great wealth in this state. Why don't you have the last word?
Well, you brought up business spending, and since we've been paying attention in Salem, we've seen in the last 12 years, we started kind of counting the ways we're spending more money for business, and this biennium, we're spending at least $835 million that we know of on business breaks or business subsidies where we're providing money towards a program, and that's one of the places where we need to go to get money. If we don't get more money in taxes, then we need to get rid of some of the tax breaks. That's for sure.
Jody Weisers, thanks so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Nice to be here, Bill.